The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
We are awfully glad you're listening today. This is the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Deb Lonser is a regular on the show, but she's not here today. She will be back. And also, I'm Joe Galewski, as you heard. Thank you for listening here today, and welcome to our show, heard weekly on RadioMD.com. We are streaming at GabRadio.com as well. So thank you so much for listening to today's show. To reach the show, youdocs at gmail.com, udocs at gmail.com. On the phone, if you still like to use the phone, 877-711-5211. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Good to be here. We got a lot of great, if you will, medical stories this week. It's amazing how many there are. And in addition, wonderful guest. And of course, we've got some great stories from Gary Ginsberg. And Arthur Perry is going to talk to us about how to protect yourself with spray-on suntan, as well as what to look for in skin creams, since there's some new articles by the FDA warning about skin creams.
Don't forget your Real Age Tip of the Week, two of those. How about the Real Age Tip of the Week for the first hour?
Get the health benefits of chocolate. How to make sure you're going to get the health benefits of chocolate.
Remember the dog in the Nestle commercials? You remember his name?
No.
Farfel? Remember Farfel?
Name.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Nestle's makes the very best, and the dog would go, chocolate.
You know, you must be older than me. How long has that been
we were both
off
kids.
The air?
We were both kids. We were both growing up. We were both youth at the time. Nestle's chocolate. Our guest at 34 past the hour is a breast cancer survivor. Why? Well, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Her name is Dr. Julie Silver, and her take on things, you'll talk with her, Dr. Mike, about what she is, promoting, and I guess it's called cancer rehab.
Right. What she talks about a lot, and we're going to find out exactly what the data is and what she means, are that when you finish an acute treatment for cancer, both you and your family are devastated, you especially if you've been undergoing chemotherapy or surgery, and that no one takes care of recovering from it so you don't get the cancer again, or that you don't have, or how do you decrease the likelihood of recurrences? How do you get back to life? How do you get your vigor back? That's what she's going to talk to us about.
All right, that's Dr. Julie Silver at 34 past the hour. How about starting off today with an email question from Arlene? What do you think, Dr. Mike, would like to do that?
Sure.
Arlene says, hello, Dr. Mike. I heard coffee has lots of antioxidants. I've been a coffee drinker prior to being pregnant and stopped drinking even now since I'm still nursing my 16-month-old toddler. Is it now safe to drink coffee while I'm nursing? And how about if I'm still planning to get pregnant or when I am pregnant?
Well, what we think when you are pregnant, what the data are that if you drink two or more cups of coffee a day when you're pregnant, now there's nothing on limitations for soda or energy drinks or chocolate, all of which have caffeine, but I think energy drinks should be in the same category, maybe even worse than coffee. Because they have much more caffeine. But if you drink more than two or more cups of coffee a day, there is an increased risk of miscarriage. Not an increased risk of fetal abnormalities, not an increased risk of brain dysfunction or ADHD or any of those things, but there is an increased risk of miscarriage. And that's probably caused by spasm of the artery to the uterus, that is lack of blood flow to that artery, which is key to supplying the baby second to second with oxygen, etc. So the message is stay under one cup of coffee, spread it out throughout the day. If you are pregnant, before getting pregnant or while nursing, we can't find any good data that it is harmful to have coffee or caffeine in other beverages. So the answer is, while you're breastfeeding, doesn't appear to be a hazard to your child. But again, I do moderation and talk to your own physician about it, Arlene.
All right, Arlene, thank you for that email. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com. One of the top medical news stories on the list today has to do with diet soda. We'll get to that story in total in a minute. But if you wanted a soda if you were pregnant, would you rather have a woman have a regular soda or a diet soda?
Well, you don't want a sugar blast going to you and the child. So if you want a soda, I'd probably opt for the diet soda. Now, diet sodas have a bunch of other chemicals in them, but regular sodas do too. So I think I'd go for the diet soda.
Okay.
I don't think, in fact, unless we're calorie poor, unless you come from a place where you're not getting enough calories, and that was actually Bridget's favorite story of the week, was what Barbie would look like if she were around today. But in fact, Bridget sent me her favorite story of the week, which is what Barbie would look like, and it's pretty grotesque, and she'd have to have anorexia. But in any case, the point is that if Barbie were an adult, by the way, but the point is that we aren't a calorie poor society anymore. There probably is no reason to have full sugared soft drinks.
Right. Blood pressure. What is the standard we need to gravitate toward? One of the medical stories of the week has to do with, well, there are some blood pressure stories this week. What is the goal we should strive for?
Well, this one is the goal, and we know this from data in 52 countries. So it's the same in India as it is in China, as it is in the United States, as it is in Canada. And it's been the same in all of the countries. And that is, you go for 115 over 75. This story actually came out of the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're really our protectors. It's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, so they are concerned about preventing it. But they said 67 million Americans have high blood pressure, and 36 million of them do not have it even under control, under 130 over 85. But in fact, when they looked at what would it take to get optimal control, which is if you get to 115 over 75, you will prevent 34 million people having in their, out of that group, having strokes, having heart attacks, developing impotence, developing other problems related to high blood pressure, memory loss. So the key is, and what does it cost? Well, many plans have free blood pressure pills. And at worst, some of the best are available at Walmart and Walgreens and CVS for $4 for a month or $10 for 3 months supply. So there is no reason to not have it. There are 150 different medications that will help you control blood pressure, and you can ask for the side effects. So you want increased libido, we got a blood pressure medicine that does that. You want decreased libido, we got a blood pressure medicine that does that. So there are medications. Now, that goes with another great story that we should cover in the next segment, Joe,
okay.
Which is what happens to people with diabetes who use the blood pressure and statin medication compared to when they lose weight and get healthier with diet and lifestyle changes.
All right, we'll lead with that after the break. But briefly, what happened to 120 over 80, right? 120 over 80.
120 over 80 is what we used to think. The data are pretty clear. 115 over 75 is the ideal.
And that makes makes a difference, right? 5 points?
Those 5 points, both up and down, make you live about 3 years longer and with about 3 years less disability.
Well, that's good to know. Udocs@gmail.com, 877-711-5211. Thank you for listening today. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Stay with us.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Our show weekly brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. And on the phone at 877-711-5211, Dr. Julie Silver, our guest at 34 past the hour in this hour. She's a breast cancer survivor, not offered what she calls rehabilitation care. So now she wants to make it her mission to make cancer rehab accessible to everybody who needs it, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So she fits in very nicely with our program today. Dr. Mike, do you want to piggyback on a story you talked about before the break with regard to blood pressure, and now you want to bring in the diabetes issue?
Right. This was a surprising study. All we have is the abstract presented, so we don't have the actual final data, if you will. But what it says is the headline was "Diabetes Study Ends Early with a Surprising Result." And it was presented today, so you're getting the latest data. Rena Wing, W-I-N-G, who's the wife of a really good buddy of mine, Ed Wing. Ed Wing and I went to college together. Rena, was there all the time. He's dean of the medical school at the University of Brown University. She's a researcher there in, is one of the most prominent weight loss researchers in the world. A randomized controlled trial in patients whether they should have pills or lose weight. So they a group lost 5% of their body weight, roughly 15 pounds. Another group, instead of losing the weight, they had no weight loss, but they went on medications to control their cholesterol, their blood pressure, and their blood glucose, and they both groups got to the same degree of reduction in blood pressure, glucose, and that is blood sugar, and in cholesterol values, and both groups had the same outcomes. So it was expected that you actually would get better outcomes when you did it with weight loss. Isn't true in this group, at least. You got the same outcomes as the group who lost weight or who got control of those variables, that is blood pressure, lipids, and blood glucose through, if you will, medication. Possibly that's because both groups had decreased inflammation rates because the statin, that is the cholesterol medicine that this group took, atorvastatin, which is the new name for Lipitor, the old name for Lipitor, I don't know what you'd say, but in any case, atorvastatin does decrease inflammation, which is one of the things that losing the weight does as well. So they got just as much benefit from the pills as they would have, as they did the group that lost the weight.
Interesting, because you would seem to think that your goal would be to, through weight loss and exercise, get off medications eventually. But if medications provide the same benefit, that would be, you know, maybe some people would consider that to be the easy way out, right? Yeah, I can take a pill. It's like people may go out and eat fast food and say, I take a cholesterol pill, right? So it's no big deal. But doesn't it seem like people would think that way, that if I can take a pill, what's a big deal? I don't need to lose weight.
Well, we don't have the full data. We don't know whether it was just heart disease mortality was the same, but cancer mortality or something else was different. So we don't have the full story yet. So we don't have all the data, but that's right. What it does say is how powerful the medications we now have are at decreasing heart attack risk. You know, since 1970, the risk of dying from a stroke in America, I was asked this by my ping pong opponent today, actually.
Did you win?
I won for a change, and so I should really celebrate. I think he threw it, because once every 2 years, I think he lets me win. But in any case, strokes in America have decreased 80% stroke death rate since 1970, and the heart attack death rate has decreased 50% since 1970. So we've really come a long way, largely because of medicines, even in face of these horrible diets. Doesn't mean we can't do much better. Remember, all they lost, these people were way overweight, and all they lost were 15 pounds. Doesn't know what would have happened if they'd lost 80 or 90 pounds. We don't know. There was no control group or no group where they had both kept on the medication and the weight loss. So no group of both treatments, and maybe they could have gotten more if they had both on board.
And if you were off medication, medication's expensive. We'd save money in healthcare, right?
Absolutely.
So you'd still want to probably opt for eventually being able to,
well,
you know,
I think
not
of,
take medication.
I think of food and lifestyle changes as the best therapy we can get.
How about this story on the list here today, since you talked about stroke, about can you do too much to prevent a stroke?
Well, this was not, too much is not you at home. This was surgery, and it was carotid endarterectomy. We know from the data that you have to have about a 70% lesion, that is 70% less blood flow, and an ulcerated plaque to have real benefit from surgery. Well, apparently there's a lot of surgery going on. This is from the Medicare database and national databases across the world. There's a lot of surgery putting stents in carotid arteries. Those are the arteries to your brain from the central circulation. There's a lot of surgery apparently going on with people with less than 70% and not with ulcerated lesions. So there's some specific indications where the benefit is greater than the risk. The problem is the carotid endarterectomy has a sizable risk that is 2-3% for people ending up with strokes after it, caused or associated with the surgery. So it's not benign. It's only if you prevent 3% or greater strokes, and the only group you prevent that in is people with 70% or more lesions or with ulcerated plaques. That is, ulcerated plaques means the plaque is likely to flip off and go to your brain and cause brain damage.
Our guest last week was a stroke expert, right? Didn't we talk about strokes last week?
We did.
Right.
We talked 2 weeks ago with Justin Zivin, actually, I think it was.
Robbie Benson last week,
mm-hmm, I'm not dead yet, who had 4 cardiac operations, and he talked about the value of second opinions, finding the right place to have your cardiac surgery. Wonderful, wonderful sense and a great book.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks ago, we talked to Justin Zivin, who is the physician scientist. He's both an MD and a PhD and a neurologist who literally took the medication that we have for dissolving clots after a heart attack, TPA, and despite the company, the pharmaceutical company, not wanting to investigate it, showed that it reduced strokes, and now is the standard. You've heard the time lost is brain lost. Well, he's the one who found the medication, TPA, and despite the company not wanting to do it, despite a whole bunch of obstacles in his way, he told the story of TPA and how he was able to do this and literally change the course of stroke treatment in the United States.
My point being is that if you get confused about guests we have, what you do is go to RadioMD.com, and all the shows are podcast. So you can go back and listen to this show. You can go back, for point of reference, you can go back and find out when Robbie Benson, the actor, was on, which he was on last week, and the guest before on strokes 2 weeks ago. So it's all available at RadioMD.com. Listening back, maybe a real age tip Dr. Mike gives every week. You can listen to that back again. They're terrific. So RadioMD.com is where you go to hear these shows if you don't miss them in real time. I just want to mention that how stupid can companies be making laundry detergent look like Halloween candy, right? And it looks like it's candy jar because apparently the number of kids who mistake colorful laundry pods for candy is growing. How dumb is that, these companies, to make it look like candy, right?
I'm against it totally. So right, P&G, they shouldn't do it because it's a large number of poisonings. We talked with Gary Ginsberg about that.
Yep.
And certainly if you have kids, anybody under the age of probably 18, don't have that type of laundry detergent anyplace near around. Get the old white stuff that tastes horrible.
We'll be back with a guest coming up. Stay with us.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
It's guest time here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Julie Silvers with Harvard Medical School. She's also a breast cancer survivor who was not offered rehabilitation care for help recovering from treatments. And now she's on a mission to make it accessible to everybody who needs it. She's founded Oncology Rehab Partners and has put together the STAR program certification. That's a model of evidence-based reimbursable cancer rehab services that's being implemented by healthcare facilities in well over 40 states. She's also the author of Hope and Healing for Your Breast Cancer Journey, Surviving and Thriving During and After Your Diagnosis and Treatment, published by Chicken Soup for the Soul Health. Dr. Silver, we're glad you're here today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. It's always my mission to ask the obvious question before Dr. Mike takes over. So here's my obvious question. What is cancer rehabilitation?
Well, good question. And a lot of people wonder that. I'm a rehab doctor, and so I have been treating people who have serious medical problems for many, many years. And probably the best example that people kind of are familiar with is if somebody has a stroke and they need rehab. Maybe they have some paralysis, maybe some trouble walking, swallowing, talking, all these different things. Well, the same thing happens to people who have cancer. They have a cancer diagnosis, get all these very toxic treatments, and they get weak, and they may have difficulty talking, thinking, all these different things that we usually rehabilitate people for.
And it's probably it's highly effective, obviously, if you think it's necessary. Therefore, it's highly effective for people who use it, right?
It is highly effective, in fact. It really is. It helps people, instead of accepting a new normal, which involves a lot of pain and disability frequently, what people do is they get medical treatment, cancer rehab, and they are able to heal at a much higher level than they would otherwise have.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike?
Now, Julie, when one thinks of this, and I'm talking to Dr. Silver, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, relating to hope and healing for your breast cancer journey. And if you read this book, which is a wonderful book, it's like the Chicken Soup on the Soul series, but has a lot more medicine in it, which is ingrained in a very nice way, very pleasant, easy to read, and you get a lot of information, in fact. One of the things that people say is rehabilitation mainly pain therapy or mainly exercise? Are there food choices? Are there meditation changes? What is it all, and what's the full scope of the STAR program?
Well, I really try to get people to think about the STAR program the way they would think about stroke rehabilitation or if they were in a serious car accident. If you're in a serious car accident or if you had a stroke, certainly meditation might be helpful, and certainly eating well might be helpful as well. But that wouldn't really be the first thing that comes to mind in terms of the rehabilitation part of it. Instead, what people would probably think mostly of is getting physical therapy, maybe some occupational therapy, possibly some speech therapy as well, to treat things like weakness, deconditioning when they're very they have trouble walking a long distance, going back to work, and so on, and also just the kinds of things that help people return to work and think. A chemo brain or mild cognitive impairment is something that a lot of patients are complaining of.
So the scope of it is rather broad. But you've left it in terms of what people do, physical activity. But you have a wonderful chapter in the book on Chicken Soup for the Soul. It says, "Think positive." The title is "Think Positive During and After Treatment," and it gives the stories of how, I would say, positive emotion makes a major difference.
It really does. And, you know, physical and emotional healing go hand in hand. And there's new research that has come out very recently looking at distress in cancer survivors. And the number one reason for distress is disability. If you can't do the things that you used to do, if you can't do the things that you want to do, it's very distressing. And I certainly know when I was diagnosed with breast cancer as a young woman, and I had three little kids at home to raise, and I had a medical practice and patients to take care of, it was very, very distressing. So trying to really tag team those two things, the physical and the emotional part, and work on your positive thinking, ways to reduce stress, but at the same time, getting your body as strong and healthy as possible.
Now, and in this chapter, there are stories about music and how important the sound of music is. Kiss and Tell, which is one that I absolutely love, and Think Positive During and After Treatment, practical things you can do to reduce stress and improve your mood, and avoid worrying about worrying, etc. So it's a really wonderful, when you look at it, it's a wonderful chapter that talks about this. The other thing I've got to say, there's another thing is you talk about recruiting a support team as well as recruiting your medical team and organizing your medical team. But you also talk about, and I think this is really important, is how to control your support team, how to pull them in, and how to get second opinions. It really is. Do you want to comment a little bit about support team?
Sure. People often think, well, gee, I'm going to talk to my friends and find out what they would do in the situation, what kind of treatment they would get or whatever. And they often look to their medical team for a lot of support that perhaps their family and friends may give them. So one thing I try to really share with people is you want to rely mostly on your friends and family for support and not so much for medical advice. And you want to rely on your medical team for really great medical advice and not so much for support. Now, that doesn't mean the mental health professionals and so on shouldn't give support. They absolutely should. But your oncologist, for example, should be giving you great medical advice. And you really want to listen to your oncologist. And if you don't trust your oncologist, get a second or get a third opinion.
Tell us what the three-year warranty relates to.
The three-year warranty, well, you know, it's funny because people often want a guarantee or a warranty about how long they're going to live. And, you know, should I buy this car because it has a three-year warranty and I'm not even sure that I'm going to live that long. And, you know, it's hard to tell how long someone, any one of us will live. And so many people with cancer actually outlive their prognosis. And they say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that I didn't do this or I didn't take this chance or whatever it is. In fact, there's an old story that's not in the book, but it's actually a really neat story about this woman who had pancreatic cancer, which has a very difficult prognosis. And one of the things she did was she made a beaded necklace and put a bead on for every single event she made it to. And she had this really long necklace and looked at it and said, how did that ever happen? Oh, my gosh, my prognosis was so bad, I didn't think that would happen. I thought that was a great symbol. And the three-year warranty is actually a great symbol, too, of just outliving what your doctors may be able to predict.
And that is a great symbol. Now, you also have a story about, what happens when you get that diagnosis of cancer? What are the first things you should do when you get that diagnosis?
Well, I start the book really with first you cry because it's incredibly stressful and distressing. And, of course, you really do want to cry. And whether you're a man or a woman, no matter what kind of cancer you have and so on, it's often very shocking and
well,
so on.
Well, what you do after you cry, we're going to come back with and talk about in the next segment. We hope you'll stay with us for it. We're talking to Julie Silver, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Hope and Healing for Your Breast Cancer Journey. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Julie Silver, coming up after the break, so stay with us.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
Downsized? Outsourced? Pink slipped? Afraid of losing your home? Forbes magazine named our company one of the top 10 business ideas of 2012, where ordinary people are creating extraordinary incomes.
Hi, I am Elena from Miami. I was a traditional business owner with all the headaches that come with that. But I replaced that multiple franchise income working from home full-time, and I spent all the time I want with my son.
Get out of the rat race. Work from home and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hi, David from Boston. I was in the real estate industry for 12 years when the bottom completely fell out of that business. I really had my back against the wall with five young kids depending on me. I've now been in this business for less than a full year, and I'm actually better off today, income-wise, than I was in my best year ever in real estate.
Go to OneOccupyWealth.com now and change your life today. That's the number OneOccupyWealth.com. OneOccupyWealth.com. Start earning great money as soon as next week.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the first hour coming up in a couple minutes. Dr. Julie Silver, an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, also a breast cancer survivor. And the book is called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Hope and Healing for Your Breast Cancer Journey. To learn more about Dr. Silver, it's juliesilvermd.com. Here's Dr. Mike again. Dr. Mike.
So, Julie, we started with the first thing you should do after you get the diagnosis of cancer is cry. And then what is number two?
Well, number two really is you got to start organizing your healthcare team and really start thinking about, okay, how am I going to treat this? And internet sites, really, they might educate you and you might get more information, but that's not the way to make your treatment decision. And it's not talking to your friends and thinking, well, my cancer is like my mother's or it's like my friend's or whatever is also not the right way, because your cancer isn't. Your cancer is your own. You have a very unique body and unique cancer if you've been diagnosed. And so you really need to trust your oncologist and start gathering the right people to help you down that road. I think that is like one of the most important things to do after you cry is just to say, I'm going to put trust in my doctors and I'm going to really believe that my doctor is going to help me fight this cancer.
And so, and now, how, do you get a second opinion? Do you shop for an oncologist? Do you just take the one that you referred to? How do you do that?
You know, it's interesting because I actually went to the country of Bermuda and I was talking there, and there's one oncologist there. And so the idea of a second opinion doesn't even exist. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, you know, a second opinion doesn't exist everywhere. But in the United States, usually you can get a second opinion. And I've talked to so many different cancer survivors who've said, you know, I just wish I would have gotten a second opinion, and I think it's actually better to try to get one rather than to have regrets and say, I wish I would have gotten one later, because once you go through treatment, if you never got a second opinion, you can't change that. You can't find out what that other oncologist would have said or whatever. On the other hand, you know, there are times when you just really trust that your treatment is the right treatment and you really believe in your oncologist and you can just go for it. And there's a lot of listeners that are probably thinking, you know, I never got a second opinion. And that's okay too. But if you have a choice, I really do think it's a good idea to get a second opinion.
Now, you also talk about organizing another team other than your medical team.
Organizing your support team, all those well-wishers. And one of the tips that I love the best that I actually got from a colleague of mine at Harvard was to appoint a captain of kindnesses. You know, there's all these people that want to help you, and it's really hard to say things like, you know, I could really use a gift card for groceries, or my kids really need to be taken to their piano lessons, or whatever. Instead, a lot of times what happens is people bring over casseroles and all these different things, which is great, but there might be other things you need. So having someone else appointed as the captain of kindnesses and organizes the well-wishers and really says, you know, what she really needs or what he really needs is this, this, and this. It's just a great way to organize your support team.
Now you also have a great suggestion I love on page 217, which is make a worry box.
Make a worry box, write your worries down, put them in the box, and think about them later. I think that, you know, you're going to be stressed, and then people start getting stressed about being stressed. Accept that you're going to be stressed, accept you're going to have worries, and then just say, all right, I'm going to get this worry out. I'm going to write it down, I'm going to put it in a box, and then I'm going to think about it later. And it's just a strategy of sort of trying to compartmentalize your worries a little bit and let some of them rest on the back burner for just a little while.
And where we can get more information on this?
Well, Chicken Soup for the Soul is available at online booksellers, Amazon.com, and Target, Walmart, all kinds of stores like that. But one thing I really want to share with your listeners is that if they're struggling to heal, try to ask their doctor about cancer rehabilitation, because they really need some help healing as well as possible.
So this book is available any place. It's at Amazon. It's also available at chickensoup.com and at juliesilvermd.com. You can find much more about Julie Silver and her STAR program for rehabilitation and what a lot of states are doing, what she has started, the STAR program for rehabilitation from cancer, at juliesilvermd.com. Julie, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing this with people.
Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, the You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Time to wrap up this first hour with Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, M.D.
And the real age tip this week, get the health benefits of chocolate, like toupees,
oh,
nose jobs, and tummy-flattening jaws. Chocolate's health benefits have always been a little bit tricky. Munch too much of the wrong kind, and poof, not only do benefits vanish, but harm sets in. Sweet news, though, things have gotten simpler. Turns out it doesn't seem to matter which kind you choose, dark, extra dark, or just cocoa-based. Regularly eating this delectable dessert can cut your risk of heart attack by about 30%, stroke by about the same level, and of diabetes by about the same level. What's at work? Compounds called polyphenols that boost your levels of nitric oxide, beneficial gas, or stuff that keeps your arteries young and flexible and able to dilate. Chocolate's natural ingredients also discourage blood clots, ease blood pressure, and even help your body absorb things more easily. Still, don't overdo it. Chocolate, sugar, and saturated fat, it's one of the great things. Chocolate's saturated fat actually gets metabolized to an unsaturated fat in your liver. But chocolate, sugar, and fat can override its benefits. To a day, enjoy a daily dose without imperiling your waist size. Try these tactics. Have one or two small, and we call them discs here, they're feather rest discs a day, 23 calories a piece, or an ounce or half an ounce, two or a few times per week. Choosing real cocoa-based or dark chocolate is still a smart idea because it has real cocoa and less sugar than milk chocolate. And avoid any chocolate made with palm or coconut oil or hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil. And skip the fat and sugar by whipping up a cup of unsweetened cocoa powder into cocoa. That's the real age tip of the week, Joe.
Very good, Dr. Mike. If you enjoyed that one, stick around. There's another one coming up in the second hour. Also coming up in the second hour, what's toxic and what's not, with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Also, straight talk from the docs with Dr. Arthur Perry. So we'll be back. We're here for you. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Thank you for listening.